I don't know, it's probably a month ago that I filled in for Vic while he was away. And I talked about the need of the glorious church. And we went back to basic fundamentals of what it is to be members of the Lord's church. I want to continue that today, as well as tie in a little bit with Victor's lesson last Sunday morning. And I want to talk about some passage of Scripture that is very important for the Christian and that we need to have a good understanding of. And I'm sure you've heard many sermons on what I'm going to talk about this morning, but it may help us to renew our understanding and our desire to serve the Lord. If you have a Bible and would like to, or you can use a pew Bible there, we want to look at just a few verses of Scripture, one in particular in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. While you're turning there to Jeremiah in the sixth chapter, Jeremiah is my favorite of the Old Testament prophets. I love to teach and preach from the book of Jeremiah. It's a sad book. It's sad to see what Jeremiah had to go through, the way he was treated, the meanness that they put upon him. But one thing about Jeremiah, and that is that he never gave up. He just kept going. He kept on. And his book of Lamentations, if you read that, you once again feel so sad of all of the things that they did to Jeremiah and the way they treated him in the Israel of old. But in Jeremiah chapter 6, we want to look over at verse 16. Thus says the Lord. Now that's him talking. You're listening to what the Lord has to say here. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is. Now notice this, and walk in it. We're not only to hear it, we're not only to understand it, but we're to walk with it, stay with it day in and day out. And so then you will find rest for your souls. Now, did you get this? This verse is important. You need to stand in the ways. You need to see. You need to ask for the old paths. You need to walk in them. And you will find great rest for your, not body so much, but your souls. And the soul is important. Why? Well, the soul goes on and on and on and on. There's no stopping it. This old body, some will be glad, will one day be gone. But that's the way it is. But the soul of me is going to go on and on and on and on for all eternity. And it's going to be either in heaven or hell. So it's important. But notice this one thing that makes me sad. In the end here of verse 16, Jeremiah says, but they said, we will not walk in it. In other words, if you were to tell me to do something and I say, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And that's the way it is in a lot of life. And I fear that's the way it is in Christianity. That's the way it is in the church nowadays. When they hear the gospel and they don't like it, then they're not going to walk in it. They're not going to do what this one is asking them or telling them to do. Now, as we get into the lesson this morning, if you know my history of my life, I'm sort of an old mountain boy. Back in the hills of East Tennessee, I would go and stay, listen, visit my grandparents who lived up in the cove, and they had no running water, they had no electricity, and they lived just fine. I would go down to a little creek to get some buckets of water and bring in for them, and it was a wonderful life to live. Very peaceful when you turned the lights out at night, or rather in their case, blew them out, or turn off the lights and the globes that they had in those days. There's one thing that you'd better be ready for, and that is you better be in bed, because it's dark in the country, in the mountains, when all lights are gone. They had a big fireplace in their little living room, and I believe my grandfather kept that going day and night, summer, winter, spring, or fall. You always had a fire in the fireplace. But you know, paths are different from roads or highways or interstates. One thing about a path is that it's narrow. Roads are what? They're wide. You go out here and get on 95. You used to, when we lived in Maryland, we would come from Frederick to D.C., and it was 270 at that time. And we spent about 30 years there. And when we started, it was about 3 lanes, and then it became 4 lanes, and then it became 5 lanes, and then it became 6 lanes, and then it just kept growing. It got bigger and bigger. But paths don't do that. You get on a path and you just stay with it. Paths are commonly made by the foot of men. And roads are made with what? Machinery. They have all kinds of construction equipment there to build the modern highways. Paths are traveled by few. But you get out here on Monday morning on 95 or 295, and boy, you are in a crowd. Really a big crowd of people. A path beckons us to slow down and take our time. While you get on the road, you see how crazy people drive. They're doing 85 and 90 miles an hour while I'm still trying to get up to 30. And so it is. And my wife keeps reminding me, dear, don't go too fast, you know. But I love her. I still love her because she keeps me from having many wrecks. Paths take us back to the time that were much simpler. Going up again to my grandparents, walking the little path down to that creek that was just as cold water as you'd ever want, that path never got any larger. That was it. It was so peaceful. And you get out again on the highways here, and people are blowing at you, they're cutting you off, you just know they're going to get you or whatever. And the paths remind us of something small. It's been a long time for Israel, there in the verses that we read, that they had claimed the promised land. You remember as they were led into it, and they began to drive out all of the wicked people. They began to possess the land, and this began to be theirs. The Israelites of Jeremiah's time were wandering away. They were going away. They were forgetting the Lord. They were turning against Him. And they no longer held to the old-fashioned teaching and beliefs of their forefather. Sadly, they realized that they no longer love the Lord like they should. So we find that Jeremiah is trying to call them back, and he's trying to get them, come, walk in the old paths. And we'd better listen, because God is speaking to us. Jeremiah says, stand in the ways and see. Listen, brethren, it's very important. We are to stand in the ways and see, and we are to ask for the old paths. Jeremiah is warning the Israelites of the dangers of taking new paths. I can remember when I was preaching full time here and other places as well, but visiting the hospitals. And at Lake Forest, we had a lot of members always sick, elderly members in the hospitals. And I don't know if you ever visit the hospitals much or not, but that was a part of my duty, part of my work. And I would, in the afternoons, after doing my studying and things of that nature, I would get in my car, and on the way home, I would stop at these hospitals to visit whichever member was in there. And you know, sometimes it just got to the point where I began to realize, I don't even know where I am now. These hospitals just keep growing and growing and growing. And I'm walking along trying to remember if it's this one here that has that, or if it's that one over there that has it. And you know, we keep getting hospitals here in Jacksonville. We keep building them, and we keep building on to the ones. And so it is that as we go around, we're looking for that little path to get us out of there. And sometimes I wonder, am I ever going to get out of here? Am I ever going to see the light of day again? And then I go out to the parking decks, and I go and I get off at the wrong level, and I see my car over there. But it's not my car. It's a car like my car. But I got off the elevator to the wrong floor. And so it's back and forth. You see, the world is constantly changing. Things are getting different day in and day out, year in and year out. We're forgetting this and that, and it's changing. You stay away from a part of town here in Jacksonville for 2 or 3 months, and when you go again, you don't know it. They've made road changes, they've put in new buildings and new food places to eat and houses and so forth and so on, and there it is. But the world's philosophy is that anything that is different than the old is better. Why don't they like us old people? Why do young people not like us? Are we that bad? You know, I look around us and I see young people. But you know, there's still a lot of young people that are nice. One thing that my good wife has had to do with her health is use a cane as she walks. And that helps her so much to keep her balance. And you know, I stand surprised sometimes as we are working our way into a store or a place to eat or not, that some young people come along and they will open the door and hold it for us as we get in. And I appreciate that. That means so much to us. And so it is that this world's philosophy is that if it's old, it's no good. In other words, last year's car, that's history. You need today's. You need the new one right now, because it's the important one. Look at verse 16 again there. When they were saying, we're not interested, Jeremiah, in these old paths. Grandma and Grandpa may have walked in those, and that was fine for their time. But we're different now. We've got a big population. We've got a big city here, and on it goes. We're not going to go with these old things. And so it is, I fear, that sometimes in the Lord's church, when I look at many of them today and see how far they have gone from the truth of the Bible, God's Word, this is what is important. And these, many times, don't understand what's in this book. But they're happy making up their own religion and doing what they want to do. But is change always better? Is new and improved really improved? You know, Vic, last Sunday morning was talking about Coca-Cola. When they tried to get in the new Coca-Cola, what trouble they had. And so it is in life today. Many churches today seem to be marketing new Coca-Colas, a new religion, a new theme, a new way, because they don't like the old way. And so many churches today seem to be on the wrong path. We don't want what is old. That's what they're saying, basically. And I look at some of the congregations around me. I look at some of them I read about. And it breaks my heart to see how far we're drifting away from the Lord's church. You know, Jeremiah was right in what he had to say. Now I want to read you off a few things here as we get a little bit deeper into the lesson that we need to seek, as Jeremiah said, walk in the old paths. Why? Well, the old path is God's way. Now remember that. The old path is the godly way. God's way is often referred to as a path. In Psalm 16, verse 11, you won't have time to turn to all of these, but in 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Psalm 17, in verse 5, uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. You remember from Psalm 23 in verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You remember that. Psalm 25 and 4, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. You see, the word path just keeps cropping up as you look at the scriptures. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Again, you see, it just keeps coming, the paths that the Bible has to talk about. In Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and its pathway there is no death. And then finally, in Matthew 7:13 and 14, what does he say there? Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter there through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road or path that leads to life, and only a few find it. Isn't that sad? Only a few will find it. Why do we see so many empty seats here today? Why do we see churches just going down and down in attendance? Why do we see the brotherhood so small as to what it was when I first started preaching? What happened? You see, the old paths is the godly way. Have you ever stopped to think that the path that we're talking about, Abraham, Noah, Moses, they walked it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, James and John, Peter, Andrew, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, all of these were walking the old paths and trying to encourage people to do likewise. It's not a wide path, but rather a well-beaten or narrow pathway. But not only is the old path the godly way, but secondly, the old path is the good way. You got it? One was godly, now it's the good way. Listen again to the words of God. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. where the good way is and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. The world would have us to believe that all paths are good, and it doesn't matter which one you take. You hear that preached, you read about it, you see it on television, you talk to neighbors and friends, and they say, oh, it doesn't matter which path you're traveling. They all want to lead to heaven anyway. So just be cool and don't get all excited about it. Is a path that teaches you can believe in Buddha or Mohammed or Confucius or Allah and still go to heaven, is that a good path? Is a path that teaches you all you have to do to go to heaven is live a good, clean, moral life, is that a good path to be walking? Is a path that teaches that all you have to do to go to heaven is simply have faith in God, is that a good path? That's all you need? Just let me have faith in God, everything will be all right. Have you obeyed the gospel? Well, no, but I have faith in God and He'll take care of me. Is a path that teaches you that you can live a worldly, sinful lifestyle and still go to heaven, is that a good path? Is that what I would call, you would call, a good path? Is a path that caters its message and its singing to please man more than God, is that a good path? Is a path that teaches me to trust in my feelings and my personal experiences more than the Word of God a good path? Listen to me. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to man. You get it? There is a way that seems. It seems like you're in great health when I speak to you. But you're not. You have more problems than we could ever even talk about. There is a way that seemed right to man, but the end of it leads where? To heaven? To joy? To death. That's what the scriptures say. People are looking around and they're saying, oh, this is a good path. Oh, that's a good path. Oh, this is okay. This is all right. Don't get excited, Maynard, like you are. Just accept this. No matter how good a path may seem, if it doesn't lead to eternal life, it's not worth it. I don't care what you say. Oh, I don't want that old path over there. I'm not interested in that. Well, then it's not the way to heaven. The old path teaches us as a sinner in need of a Savior. The old path teaches us that we need to believe in the gospel that we might have salvation. That we need to repent of our sins. That we need to confess the name of Christ. That we need to go into that watery grave and be buried there, born anew in Christ. When I was a student many, many years ago at a Christian college, one of the professors there was at that time for me, he was quite elderly. I don't know exactly what his age was, but he looked to be in his late 60s or 70s. But he certainly could teach the Bible. And that man, as I say, he was probably 70, maybe even my age now of 80. But he set out to determine, I'm going to learn how to read Hebrew. Great man, but when he would speak in our times that we got together every day as a student body. You would just sit there and drink it all in of what great knowledge he had and great wisdom. He was preaching the Word of God and standing in the old paths. But that man and a few others helped me to get an understanding of the Scriptures in the very beginning, to go out and preach the gospel. And I don't know if I've ever stayed as faithful to it as people think or not, or really not interested in that, but the Scriptures. He says, walk in these old paths. And you know what? As I was reading in preparation for this lesson, I came across somebody's comment that means a great deal to me. He was saying, the verse of Scripture, walk in these old paths, that we tell people when they come and hear the gospel preached, we should only have to tell it one time. You remember your children when they were little and they get into trouble, and you would tell them, now I don't want you to do this anymore, okay? You just don't do this. You just don't do it. And they would come back and do it. Did they not believe what I said? And you would tell them, now, I'm not going to tell you anymore. Beloved, what we need is people to hear the gospel and obey it, and they need to be told one time. This is it. We need to walk in the old paths day in and day out. That's it. God shouldn't have to tell us on every page of the Bible, listen, dummy, wake up. Get this. What is the problem? But that's the way it seems to be. We tell brethren what to do, and they don't do it. And we tell them again, and they don't do it. They're not listening. Israel is about to be destroyed. And God told Jeremiah, here's what I want you to tell the people, what is coming. Well, I'm no prophet. I don't know when life will be over here on this earth. But it's coming. And we better be ready for it. We'd better be ready to hear what God has to say to us, because it is so, so important. Do I speak to one this morning that is here and that needs to obey the gospel? Let this be the day that you do it. Come and walk in the old paths and be faithful unto death. Do I speak to one or more that, Maynard, maybe I need to ask for the prayers of the congregation. I've not been living like I should. I've not been doing what I should. If that's so, then let it be today. Now at this time, as we stand and as we sing.